Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of music. Music that inspires and moves us and teaches us about your love. For sunshine and birds singing and slippery sidewalks melting and lakes melting. For the promises of spring, dear Lord, and all that means. For babies being baptized, for little kids in the sanctuary whose voices I hear lifting up their praise. For the gift of this day, for the joy that it brings and the challenge that it brings, knowing that you are with us and loving us and guiding us. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hi. So on Wednesday evening, this past Wednesday, I left church from the day part of our work, and then I went home and had dinner, and I was driving back to teach confirmation that night. And as I was driving down 50th Street, it was, of course, a winter Minnesota night, and it was dark out. And all of a sudden, I come over the hill, and I see our church with this huge lighted cross on the top, this beacon in the middle of the night. I have been looking up at that cross nearly every day for nearly 60 years. Can you imagine? And so I know that cross. But for some reason, when I was coming over the hill on Wednesday night, it just stopped me in my tracks. The whole church was just glowing. The road, of course, was problematically slowed down because all the parents were coming in to drop their kiddos off for confirmation and for choir. The teachers and pastors were all running in and out. The trees were still all lit up. And there was a hubbub of activity. And it hit me that in the midst of this gloomy, yucky winter, and in the midst of an often dark and imperfect and controversial world, here we stood. Here was this place, God's house, alive with light and love and hope. Alive in Christ. And if you think of it, obvious as it may seem, we are all here today, this morning, because of Jesus. We're drawn here. We feel the love of Christ here. We come seeking hope and light and reassurance that everything really will be okay, that God's got this. That God's got us. We come with family or to see our church family. We come seeking solace and comfort and peace, the peace that only Jesus can give. We come for the light. When I hear this morning's text, where Jesus actually calls himself the light of the world, it strikes me how calm he was in what must have been an incredibly stressful and intimidating situation. Jesus is in the temple. He is teaching. He's a new leader who is rising up. People have begun to follow him. He's saying things that make sense to them. And so they gather, and so they listen. But not everyone is gathered there looking for hope. Some come in anger. Things are starting to heat up. The powers that be are starting to take notice of this man called Jesus. The religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, feel threatened by him. The people clearly love and respect and trust him. Even they can tell that he seems to have some intimate understanding of God's love. But the leaders getting tangled up in those human emotions of fear and of jealousy, they come to the temple to find him. And in what feels like a courtroom scene of questions and accusations, they try to pin Jesus down, to trap him into saying something blasphemous, to define who he is, to identify himself. Is he a traitor? But Jesus calmly and simply responds, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have a life of light." They press him. "You are testifying on your own behalf, so your testimony is not valid." But Jesus calmly argues, "My testimony is valid because I know where I've come from. I know where I am going, and I know that God is with me. You judge by human standards. I judge no one." Ruffled and angry, they press him, "Where is your father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father, for if you knew me, you would know my father." Even when facing persecution and judgment, Jesus found peace and strength in God. He didn't struggle to defend himself. He simply replied, "I know where I've come from. I know where I am going. I know the Father testifies on my behalf." Have you ever felt like you needed to defend yourself or your faith and completely lacked the words to do so? Years ago, when I was a young girl, some very well-intentioned and loving relatives pulled me into a room at their house and asked me if I knew for a fact that I was going to heaven. What proof did I have that I would be saved? I must have been in sixth or seventh grade at the time, and I had no idea how to respond. I started to squirm. I started to look for the door, and I wondered if they'd think that me going to my mom to ask the answer to that question would be cheating. "Because I go to church," I ventured. That wasn't enough, clearly. "I know, because I go to Cathedral of the Pines camp." No bites. "But how do you know that you're saved?" they persisted. I don't remember how I got out of the room that night. I still think back on that moment and I sweat. I'm sweating now. Somehow they expected me to prove myself worthy of God's love. And even way back then, my growing little Lutheran soul knew there was nothing that I could do to earn God's love. What could I possibly do to deserve God's love? All I wanted to say is, but Jesus loves me. But it sounded so simpleton that I just kept my mouth closed and hoped the interrogation would end. So what if I had followed Jesus' lead when he was pressed and just said, "I know where I've come from, I know where I am going, and I know that the Father testifies on my behalf," and left it at that? I'd like us to pause for a moment. Close your eyes if you like, and think of a situation that is troubling you, where you feel like you're being judged or like you're not measuring up to others' expectations. Maybe it's at school, or at work, or at home. Do you have something in mind? Now, remembering how very much God loves you, knowing that God created you to be you and saw that it was good, respond in your head exactly as Jesus did. I know where I've come from. I know where I am going. And I know that the Father testifies on my behalf. Driving down the road that night, seeing our beloved church all lit up with light and activity, seeing hundreds of kids learning not only who they are, but whose they are, filled me with so much gratitude, recognizing that it has very little to do with us and everything to do with that big lit up cross. And when you drive down 50th and you see it, maybe, just maybe, you and they will remember that Jesus is the light of the world. And they'll know where they've come from, and they'll know where they're going, and they'll know that Jesus testifies on their behalf. Amen.